Hey folks, it's James Cooper with Free Indeed Prison Ministry, and I want to share a message today on a parable that everyone knows, the parable of the sower. And it's so important to believe the right thing. Now, this parable talks about four different kinds of soil related to a person's heart. And yes, the only one that can receive the gospel and bring forth fruit is the one that wants what Christ died to give them. They want it more than anything else. And that heart is the good soil. But there is also many different gospels preached today. And in Matthew, right after Jesus spake the parable of the sower, he went right into the parable of the wheat and the tares. And in that parable, all the soil was good, but there was the good seed that was sown, which was the wheat. It was bringing forth wheat. And then the enemy had came in while men slept and sowed tares or weeds. And a seed can only bring forth of its kind. Everyone knows that. If you plant corn seed, you're not going to get okra. And if you plant okra seeds, you're not going to get tomatoes or corn. You're going to get what you plant. A seed can only produce of its kind. And it is so important what we believe, because Jesus warned us that there would be many false teachers in our generation, in this last generation. He said, there will be many. They'll deceive the very elect if possible. And all of the apostles warned about the false teachers that were flooding into their church and how it would come to its fullness in the last days. That's where we're living. And people don't understand the widespread deception that has filled the church is what was prophesied. It was what was foretold by Jesus and the apostles. And if you believe the wrong thing, you've let the wrong seed be planted in your heart. It cannot produce what Jesus said the truth will produce. He said, if you know the truth will make you free, free from sin. And that's what salvation is. Praise God. What most of the modern church today says is impossible. Nobody can be free from sin. I'm telling you, that's what salvation is. It has never changed. That's the first step of our walk with God. What salvation is has never changed. But also, what God's word so clearly says shall not inherit the kingdom of God has never changed. And people are just running headlong after these doctrines. Well, we're all sinners as long as we're in this body. Don't listen to a doctrine of a church or a preacher mislead you. You need to get a King James Bible and read it and see for yourself. Find what you believe in the King James. And I stress the King James because I have done a study on 35 modern translations. Man, there is so much deception. There is so much twisting and perverting of the Word of God in these modern translations. That is Satan's greatest victory in this last days, to change the Word of God and hide and conceal the gospel truth. Man, that's what he's done from the very beginning. That's how he deceived Eve when she said, God knows, or God said, we shall not eat of this tree. The day we eat of it, we will surely die. And the serpent said, well, God knows you won't surely die, but you will become as gods, knowing both good and evil. He took what God said and he changed it. That's what he's always done. And he's a religious devil. That's how he works. That's how he deceives. He deceives through the realm of the church with another Jesus and another gospel. That's what the apostles foretold. That's what Paul warned us about. He feared that we would listen to those who was coming to preach another Jesus and another gospel. And he told who they would be. He said, they're false apostles, deceitful workers. He said, but no marvel or no wonder, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And Satan will never come to you to deceive you as a devil. If you know he's the devil, he can't deceive you, and you don't want anything to do with him. He's going to come as a minister of the gospel, but it's going to be another gospel about another Jesus that cannot make you free. He's going to present that salvation is from hell, that if you're saved, you're saved from hell. But we're all sinners. That is the lies that has filled the church of this last generation. I said salvation has never changed. You know, if a person is saved, then Christ has came into their heart and their sin is gone. Praise God. Christ doesn't share a vessel with sin. And what salvation is has never changed. That person may have never heard the truth of the gospel. They may have only known, maybe even from a Sunday school teachings as a child, but they came to the place where they hated their sin, they hated what was inside of them, and they knew Jesus is the answer. And when you call upon him out of that heart of desperation, wanting to be free from sin, wanting that horrible thing inside of you to be gone, that sin is it's like a disease inside of us. We were born with the sin nature because of Adam's transgression, and we can't get rid of it. But when a person wants that gone, that's what Christ died to do, to destroy the sin nature, to crucify our old man of sin. And that person calling upon the Lord out of that desperate heart, Christ will answer that prayer. He cannot ignore the cry of a desperate heart that calls upon him for what he died to give them. But then so often that person is robbed or lied to and deceived. Satan is very quick to send someone to tell them, man, we're all sinners. Nobody's free from sin. If you believe that, sin will revive. Like I said, a seed will only bring forth of its kind. But what that person received when Christ came in, and so many of you can remember, if you've had a true experience with the Lord, you remember that day, how clean you felt, how free, how wonderful, how full of love you were. You know there was a radical transformation, and your sin was gone. Praise God. See, that person may not know that their old man was crucified with Christ, but they need to know that. Praise God. They may not know that old man of sin was placed into the tomb with Christ, our Creator, Christ Jesus, our Lord. He was placed into that tomb in union with Jesus dead. Praise God. This is God's answer for sin. Death. Death in union with Christ. That dead man is never going to struggle with sin again. He's dead. Praise God. They may not know that. They may not know that we were born again through his resurrection. We came out of that tomb with Christ, our Creator, a new creature created in Christ. And that sin nature is no longer in the heart. They may not know these things, but they need to know it so they cannot be robbed. They cannot be lied to. They cannot be deceived. They have the truth to stand upon. And that truth will not only make you free, it will keep you free if you abide in Christ. But this parable that I want to go over, I'm going to read it out of Mark. The parable of the sower is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But I'm going to read it out of Mark because of one scripture, and I will explain it when I come to it. But at the beginning, Mark 4:1, as he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowl of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, the seed that's being sown here is the good seed. It is the truth of the gospel that Jesus sent his disciples, his apostles forth into the harvest to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that truth that'll make you free. That truth is simply the truth about Christ, who he is, what God sent him to do, and how that he did it according to the scriptures, according to the prophets, that he died to make an end of sin, to save his people from their sin. But right here, Jesus just gave four different types of soil relating it to the condition of a person's heart. Every one of us, everyone on this planet will fit into one of these four categories. And examine yourself. Which one of these would you fit into? Now, the first one that fell by the wayside, well, I'm not going to explain them yet. I'm going to finish reading the parable, and Jesus explains them. All right, in verse 10, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, now this is why I read this parable of the sower out of the book of Mark. This parable is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but only in Mark is it recorded that Jesus said this. And he said unto them, to his disciples, know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? Jesus was asking them, if you don't understand this, how are you going to understand anything about the kingdom of God, about preaching the gospel? And then he explains that the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word was sown. But when they had heard, Satan come immediately and taketh away the word which was sown in their hearts. And I do a prison ministry. And man, I have seen so many made free over the past 9 years. Doing seven different units. I have seen and received so many testimonies of those who were made free. But I've also seen this. Every new unit that I start, I see the congregation divided. Man, there are those, and it's always the religious, those who view themselves as a religious leader, a preacher, a minister, a teacher, whatever. But they believe we're all sinners. And when they hear the truth of the gospel, Christ died to save his people from their sin. They say, no, nobody's free from sin. And it's like a wall is between them and the truth. They cannot even receive the truth. They can't even hear that, because for them to receive it, it would mean they're wrong about what they have believed, what they have learned, what they are teaching others. And these are those, man, that they believe they have received the seed. They believe they are saved, but they say we're all sinners because they're still sinners. And man, so many of them still struggling with pornography and all these different sins. There is no possibility that anyone is saved if that is still in their heart and life. That is gone when Christ comes in. The old man is dead. But these are those who are sown by the wayside, and they don't even have a chance to receive the truth. Satan has such a stronghold on them. The wrong believing is Satan's stronghold. A person will hold to what they believe. Everyone wants to believe that they believe the truth, that they know the truth. Everyone wants to believe that what their experience is the experience of a child of God. You know, if somebody's struggling with sin and pornography and all these things, and they just ask the Lord to forgive them every time they do it, and then think I'm good and until I do it again. But whatever their experience is, failing and trying harder, backsliding and coming back, whatever their experience is, they believe this is the normal experience for a child of God. But you've got to let God's word be the source of truth. And God's word clearly says none of those things can inherit the kingdom of God. And Christ came to save his people from their sin, to crucify that old man. There is no Christian struggling with pornography. There is no child of God struggling with pornography. That is impossible. According to the word of God and according to everyone who has believed the truth and been made free, they know this. They know that is gone. That's as far as the east from the west. That's not even a desire. Sin is no longer even in the arena. Man, that's the first step of our walk with God, saved from sin. Verse 16, and these are they likewise which are sown on the stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And I can relate this to so many of the men in prison when they come to the chapel and hear the service, hear the truth. And man, I have so many of them come to me after the service and say, Brother Cooper, we've never heard this before. Man, I've had a lot of them tell me, I've been in this unit for 20 years or whatever, 20 years and went to church every Sunday and I've never heard this before. And they're rejoicing, man, this is right. This is the only thing I've ever heard that does make sense. Man, if we serve an almighty God, don't you think he's able to save his people from their sin? Don't you think if he gives an answer for the sin problem, it's going to be an almighty answer? Don't you think Jesus is a savior who can actually save his people from their sin like the angel Gabriel said? This is the only thing that does make sense. And they receive it with joy. And then so many of them go back to their cell or their dorm and they start telling the other guys and some of them, you know, verbally attack. Man, you listen to that crazy preacher? Nobody's free from sin. We're all sinners. And when the persecution comes, they faint in their heart. They give up. These are those which were sown in the stony ground. Now, verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this life, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And the desire for other things, I'll tell you this, Christ will never be second place to anything or anyone. He will never take back seat or be put on the back burner. You know, he spoke to the Church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation, the letter to the seven churches. The Church of Ephesus, he said, I know your works. You've labored for my name's sake and you have not fainted. And you've tried those who say they're apostles and they're not. And you found them to be liars. And everything he was telling them was good things. He says, but I have somewhat against you, that you have left your first love. And if you read this, you can see there wasn't a sin problem in the church. So you would think, man, how important would it be, how dangerous would it be to just have left your first love as long as you're not back in sin, as long as you're not sinning? Jesus said, except you remember from where you have fallen and repent and return to your first love. Except you return, he said, I will come quickly and remove thy candlestick. Jesus was saying, it's not going to be long. Your light is going to go out. You'll lose it all. Now, Christ is our life. Those who come to the Lord, man, you're not going to receive Christ. You're not going to receive true salvation unless you hate your sin. Unless you hate what is inside of you. The Lord will never come to somebody who has pleasure in their sin and save them. He will never come to someone who's believing a lie or wanting to hold on to some of their sin and save them. No, the one who meets Jesus in a true saving way is the one that salvation comes out of a crisis. The one that knows sin is a horrible thing inside of me that I can't get rid of. I can't change what I am. And it's not about trying to stop doing what we know of as sin, you know, stop sinning, the outward acts. The outward acts is only the proof of what's in the heart. Christ came to wash the inside of the cup. Praise God. But the Lord will never take second place to anything or anyone. If a person, and I share this a lot in the prisons, I know every man in prison wants out, you know, but if your desire, if your affections and your mind and your thoughts, that's all you can think about. Man, I want out of here. I'm praying. I'm asking the Lord, Lord, open the doors. Give me favor with the parole board. Get me out of here, Lord. And that's your heart's desire more than knowing him and walking with him. Then you have left your first love. If you ever had your first love as Christ, and your light will go out very quickly. If there's a person that we put above the Lord, that our love and affection is set on them more than the Lord, we have left our first love, and our light will go out very quickly. The desire for things of this life, the desire for anything that becomes more important than the Lord, that our affection, our love is set on more than the Lord. The word Lord means master and controller. And for those who are born of God and walk with him, Christ is our life. He's everything to us. He is our master and our controller. Everything about us is put into his hands. Lord, have your will in me, whatever your will is. And to love him above all else, he is Lord. You know, we can say the words, I love you, Lord, but if he's not master and controller of us, those words can mean nothing. If our affection are set on things or someone more than him, those words can mean nothing. But I'll tell you, when you do love him above all else, and he is your Lord, and he is your life, and you say those words, I love you, Lord. Man, that is a beautiful sound to the Lord. Those words mean so much. And you will walk with him. You will know him in ways you never dreamed possible. What the modern church says is impossible, that nobody can be free from sin. You will not know him until you experience this. Sin is what separated man from God, and nothing has changed on that. A person can be very religious. A sinner can be very religious and imagine any kind of relationship he wants to with God. But that doesn't make it so. You will know when Christ dwells in you. You will know when the presence of God comes upon you. You will know when you have that real relationship with him. And if sin is still in the heart, if you're still struggling with sin, you do not have a true relationship with the Lord. But the good news is you can. You've got to have the right seed sown. You've got to believe the truth, and it must be good news to you. Praise God. Verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word of God and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Praise God. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid that shall not be made manifest. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. Praise God. Take heed what you hear. Man, hearing and listening and feeding on the wrong gospel about the wrong Jesus can do nothing but damn your soul. If you believe you are saved and you're still struggling with sin, I'm going to speak to you with great plainness of speech because souls are at stake. You do not know the Lord. This is the word of God. 1 John 3, These are some scriptures that so many people don't want to hear. They don't want to believe this, but this is the word of God, and it must be believed. 1 John 3:5, and you know he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Now that would be contrary to almost everything that's preached today, but it's the word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. Praise God, and you will know the power of God unto salvation. You will know that truth that Jesus said would make you free. That's what salvation is. Little children, let no man deceive you. This is 1 John 3:7. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness, he that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Why would he say, let no man deceive you? He's drawing a line right here. This is the dividing line. Man, this is the dividing line today as we live upon this earth. This is the dividing line that divides the children of God from that which Revelation calls the harlot church, which is going to be destroyed in this time of great trouble that will destroy that harlot church when judgment must begin in the house of God is at hand. Praise God, it is at hand. There has never been a time more urgent to draw nigh to God. But here's the dividing line. And the apostles warn us over and over and over, be not deceived, let no man deceive you. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Man, this is clear. It cannot get any clearer than this. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever, that means all, with no exceptions, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. Praise God. Not because he has more willpower than someone else. Not because he's more determined. But because he's born of God. The source of what that new creature is of God. Praise God. He's born of God. Born again. And the old man is dead. The sin nature is destroyed. Sin is no longer in the arena. Sin is no longer in the heart and in the nature or in the life of a child of God. Now, when Jesus began his ministry, everyone was looking for the Christ to come and do everything that they had been taught their whole life that he would do. You know, they had a prophecy in Daniel 9:24-27. We talk about this prophecy so much because it is the most important prophecy in the entire Bible. It is the only one that identifies Christ. It calls him the Messiah, the Prince, which is the Hebrew language for the Christ, the Son, in the Greek or the New Testament. Every prophecy in the Old Testament that's talking about a Savior or a Redeemer is talking about Jesus Christ. But this one calls him the Messiah, the Prince, or the Christ, the Son. And it tells a timeline when he will appear, when he would begin his ministry. But it tells also in the most simple terms of any scripture in the entire Bible what his mission is. And this is the foundation of our faith. This is the record God gave of his Son. This is God's word. And John says those who believe not the record God gave are calling God a liar. They're making God a liar. It is so important to believe what God says. If we don't understand it, but we will believe it based upon God said it, God will honor that. He will give understanding, and you'll experience the reality that goes with it. But when they were raised, the Jews of Jesus' day of his ministry, when they were raised, they were taught these prophecies. They were taught the prophecy of the Christ. But it says he will make an end of sin. And they didn't even view themselves as sinners. They thought, if you keep the law of Moses, then you're holy. You're not a sinner. And it's not a sin unless you do it. That if you break the law, they would stone you to death as a sinner. They knew sin come with a death sentence. They just didn't know that sin was in the heart, which caused a person to commit the outward act. And when Jesus came and started teaching them, you know, he said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I tell you, if a man look upon a woman and desire her in his heart, he already hath committed adultery. And they hated him. They were all condemned when they heard the teachings of Jesus. They knew what was in their heart. They didn't know he knew, but they knew what was in their heart. What they had tried to hide from their friends and from their wife, from their family. They knew what was there. But Jesus was telling them, that is sin. You know, in John the 15th chapter, Jesus said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they would have had no sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Did they have sin before Jesus spoke to them? Of course they did. But they didn't have a problem with it as long as they didn't know what it was. They didn't know that sin in the heart is sin that will damn a soul. They just thought it's not sin unless you do it. So as they were taught this prophecy, their whole entire life, raised from a child and taught, when the Messiah comes, he's going to finish the transgression and make an end of sin. He's going to make reconciliation for iniquity and bring in everlasting righteousness. Now, some of the prophecies of the Old Testament talked about he would be of the seed of David, the lineage of David, of King David, that he would reign forever from the throne of David. His kingdom would be eternal, and it is. He is of the seed of David, the lineage of David, and his kingdom is forever. But they were taught that he's going to claim his rightful throne in Jerusalem and restore the kingdom to Israel. He's going to make Israel the greatest nation in the world again. And he's going to do that by making an end of sin, by driving the sinners out of our land, the Romans who rule over us, the Gentiles, the dogs, anyone who wasn't a Jew, they called them a dog, and they were the sinners. They didn't have the law of Moses. So in their mind, they were not sinners. They thought the Messiah is going to come and save us from our enemies, who are the Romans. They didn't know he was coming to save them from the enemy which was within, the sin nature. They had no idea. Now, the word of God was very clear. It told exactly what he's going to do, but they had been taught wrong. That's what I'm talking about. The wrong teaching, the wrong believing is such a powerful stronghold that so many people cannot let it go when they hear the truth. They'll reject the truth because it doesn't line up with what they've been taught. Now, when Jesus began his ministry, everyone was looking for the Christ. They knew the prophecy. They knew the timeline. It says in Luke that all men were in great expectation. Everyone was wondering, is John the Baptist the Christ? They were all looking for the Christ because the timeline had been fulfilled. Everyone was looking for the Christ to come and do everything that they had been taught their whole life that he would do. Jesus did none of those things that they had been taught that he would do. He did nothing that they were expecting. And most of that generation died in their sin when the Savior had come to them and had done everything that God's word said that he would do. He did everything that God had sent the Christ to do. And Jesus said, if you know the truth will make you free. But that truth has to be believed. It has to be wanted and it has to be believed. If a person doesn't want to be free, they will never experience it. If they say, well, nobody can be free, I just don't believe that, they will never experience it. You've got to want it and you've got to believe it. Believing it based upon God hath said it. The truth of the gospel is a message that is almost unknown today. And it brings a reality that is almost unknown today. That is why the church has come out with all these teachings that this is only how God sees you. Be not deceived. These doctrines have come into this last generation because the truth and the reality are lost. Praise God. The Word of God says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. But the modern church says we are all sinners. How can these things be? People think that after they sin, if they ask God to forgive them, then they are good with God until the next time that they do it. Not knowing that nothing changed with them during that time. They were still a sinner and they were still lost. That's why they did it again. The sin nature is still there until there is a salvation, a deliverance. Then sin is gone. Not just a forgiveness until next time. It is gone, not to be committed again. Praise God. That's what salvation is. What is sound doctrine? It has proof in the scriptures. It has proof in the prophets, in the apostles, and in the believer. Praise God. You know, it's the only gospel preached that can make you free, and it's the only gospel preached that has any proof. I've heard people say, well, we're not going to know if we made it until judgment day. Man, that does not sound like a plan to me. On judgment day, there will be no more chances. I'll tell you this, on judgment day, there will be no love offered. There will be no mercy offered. There will be no pleading with God. Today is that day to plead with God. Today is the day that God will love and cleanse and wash you and save you. Today is that day. But on judgment day, it will be too late. And we will all be sentenced to all of eternity. Either in a paradise, a new heavens and a new earth with the Lord and with all the saints. Or it will be in a lake of fire where the person will be tormented night and day forever. Forever. No end to it. You do not want to be wrong about what you believe. Search it out in the scriptures. Get you a King James Bible. Search it out. Find what you believe in the scriptures. If you believe that Jesus took the penalty for your sin, which there are many, many ministers preaching that today, that he died to take the penalty for your sin, but not the presence of sin. I'm going to tell you what, you cannot prove that in a King James Bible. There is no scripture that says he took the penalty for your sin. But there are many that tell you the truth. He made an end of sin. He saved his people from their sin. John the Baptist introduced Christ, the Creator, to a lost and dying world and told what his mission is. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But if you believe he took your penalty because a preacher told you, then you have no proof in the scriptures. The prophets do not bear witness to that. The apostles do not bear witness to that. Jesus does not bear witness to that. And the one who believes it does not have the proof within him. He's still a sinner. Nothing has changed. And he won't find out until judgment day, and it'll be too late. If you believe the Lord forgives you every time you sin and that you're good until the next time, you need to know what God told Moses in Exodus 34. This is when God introduced himself to Moses, Exodus 34 and 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. God said, I forgive thousands. I forgive iniquity, transgression, and sin for thousands, but that will by no means clear the guilty. Forgiving them does not take the sin nature out of the heart. They are still a sinner, and what they are cannot inherit the new heavens and the new earth. But notice what God was forgiving, iniquity, transgression, and sin. The prophecy of the Christ in Daniel 9:24 says that he will finish the transgression, make an end of sin, make reconciliation for iniquity. The things that God was forgiving, Christ came to take it out of the heart and nature, to destroy it. Praise God. I thank God for forgiveness. But the cross of Christ goes so much farther than forgiveness. And if the forgiveness is all that you have, and you're still a sinner, and you're going to ask him to forgive you next time you do it, and the next time, you're not born of God. You need to know that so that you can be born of God. You've got to reject the lie. You've got to let go of the lie to lay hold of the truth. But if you believe that being asking God to forgive you makes you right with God, you won't find out until judgment day. And you'll be one of those that thought they knew Jesus when they said, "Lord, Lord," and Jesus said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." They said, "But Lord, didn't we cast out devils in your name? We prophesied in your name. We've done many wonderful works in your name." And Jesus said, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." Now they thought they knew him. They had done many things in his name. But the iniquity was still in the heart. Forgiveness does not change that. Listen, God forgives sins that are past. When we come to the Lord and we're born of God, and that blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. He forgives sins that are past, but he makes it the past by crucifying that old man and putting him to death. Praise God. And only God can make it the past. If your past is still your present, it will also be your future. If what you're repenting of is the sinful things of the heart that the apostle said will not inherit the kingdom of God, then your past is still your present, and it will also be your future. That old man has to die. But the one who believes that I ask God to forgive me and I'm good, and that sin is still in the heart, they won't know until judgment day. They're still a sinner. The proof is not in them. The evidence is not in them. But the one who believes the truth of the gospel, that seed will bring forth of its kind. Praise God. Jesus said the truth will make you free. Free from sin to serve the living God. They can go to the scriptures and prove it all through the scriptures. I've had so many men in the prisons hear the truth of the gospel that I'm preaching, and they got mad, and they told me that they told me maybe a week or two later, "Brother Cooper, man, I went back to my cell. I got my Bible. I started going through there to prove you wrong. I was going to come back and tell you, now let me show you something." But everywhere I looked, there it is. Man, it's all. Everything you're saying is right there in the Word of God. He died to save his people from their sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Whosoever committeth sin is of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Praise God, it's everywhere. Our old man is crucified. The body of sin is destroyed. He that is dead is freed from sin. Dead with Christ, crucified with Christ. And that's the only entrance into Christ. And so many, they went to the scripture to prove it wrong and ended up believing it because it was everywhere in the scriptures. You can prove it in the Word of God. And you better be able to prove what you believe in the Word of God. And again, it needs to be a King James Bible. If you get a modern translation, it'll tell you whosoever is born of God does not habitually sin. They don't practice sin. Now, that'll comfort the sinner in his sin until judgment day. But when he stands before God, he's going to realize, "I had the wrong Bible. It was a perverted, twisted, polluted Word of God. And it's too late." It is too late. Prove what you believe in the King James Bible. It is the closest thing we have to the apostles and the prophets' writings. And you will see the finished work of Calvary that'll make you free. But the one who believes the truth has the witness within. They have all the proof within. They can prove it in the scriptures, and they can prove it in themselves. And everyone else who has believed the truth. Praise God. You know, one of the main things I hear is we've never heard this before. But then so many of those same men come back and say, man, it's all gone. I've believed the truth and it's all gone. These addictions that I've struggled with, man, my whole life, the lust, the pornography, all of these addictions, it's all gone. Praise God. Yes, the witness will be within you. The evidence will be within you. It is impossible to be born of God and remain unchanged. And it is impossible to be born of God and still have the sin in your heart. It is impossible. In Him is no sin. Praise God. The Word of God states it very clearly, but it doesn't compute with the human understanding. It's the most foolish message ever preached to the human understanding. It doesn't line up with logic or common sense. You know, Paul said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. It's foolishness. They perish. They die in their sin and go to a lake of fire for all of eternity because they said that was foolishness. You're telling me that if I believe my old man of sin was crucified with Christ 2,000 years ago, that all of this that I've struggled with for years can be gone in a moment of time? Yes. And they say that's foolishness. And they can't let go of the lie that they have been taught and that they have believed. Now, there are those whose pleasure is in unrighteousness. I just got through reading a letter that a prisoner wrote me. And man, I've shared the gospel with him at least 3 times. And he's still struggling with pornography and different things. And he told me, he said, but I enjoy these things. I love it. I have pleasure in it. And he's not going to like the letter that I write him back. They moved him to another unit, which is a long ways off. I was going to the unit where he was at and sharing the gospel with him in person. But I cannot go all the way across the state of Texas and to this prison where he's at now. So I'm going to write him a letter back, but he's not going to like that letter. Because in the letter, he told me when they sent him to this new unit that he had a problem with his cellie and he took a fan motor and beat him with it and put him in the hospital. He said, they put me in ADSEG and I'm in ADSEG. I'm trying to get back into the Word and trying to, he said, but I'm struggling with the pornography and those habits that go with it and all these things. And he says, can you give me some advice? Can you help me? And he signs it brother and his name. Well, I've got to tell him what the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church when he wrote the letter of 1 Corinthians. See, pornography is fornication. Man, that's what it is. Even the word fornicator or fornication in the New Testament, if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, the Greek word is porneo. It's where we get our English word pornography. But it is fornication. And Paul said, these will in no way, no wise enter the kingdom of God. But he wrote the letter to the Corinthian church because he said it's commonly reported that there's fornication among you. And he said, there's one in the church that you're calling a brother. And he's a fornicator. He's living in fornication. Get rid of him. He said, don't even eat with him. He said, give him over to Satan for the saving of his soul. And that's kind of a strange phrase. But he's saying, if he wants the devil, let him have the devil. And by the time the devil gets through with him, he'll be ready for Jesus Christ if he survives it. See, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But if he survives it, he's going to be ready because Satan will destroy his life. But you're damning his soul by calling him a brother. You're making him feel like he's saved. He's a brother in the Lord. He's a member of the body. He's part of the church. Calling him a brother, and he's content to continue in sin because of that. And I've got to tell this man, you've got to realize in your own mind you're not born of God. You're not a brother. If these things are still in your heart, if you're struggling with these things, you know, it's impossible. There is no brother in Christ struggling with pornography. That's the deception that has damned so many souls in this last generation. It has damned multitudes of souls. Pornography is an epidemic in this last generation. And the churches present it as these are just Christians that struggle with this and we've got to counsel them, we got to help them. No, you give them the truth that there's a Savior. They're not a child of God struggling with pornography. They're a religious sinner struggling with pornography. They're a religious sinner who is lost and on his way to an eternal lake of fire unless he comes to the knowledge of the truth and lets go of that lie and surrenders to the Lord. That good seed will bring forth of its kind when it finds good soil. But don't be one who rejects it because that's not what you've been taught. Don't be one who wants to hold on to the lie because it suits your needs. If your pleasure is in unrighteousness, everyone wants to be saved from hell. Nobody wants to go to hell. And Satan can bring the lies and the deception in like a flood to those. But not everyone wants to be saved from sin. And if your pleasure is in sin, if your pleasure is in unrighteousness, I would suggest that you start praying and asking the Lord, Lord, let me see myself the way you see me. Let me see my sin the way you see sin. Lord, open my eyes. He is not willing that any should perish. He will answer a prayer like that if you have a sincere heart. And when you see your sin the way he sees it, when it becomes that horrible thing inside of you that you know you can't get rid of, and you realize what I've been enjoying is what is destroying me, and it's what's going to send me to that lake of fire, and you realize what it is. It is death. It is darkness. It is uncleanness. It is contrary to everything of God. And it separates you from God. The Lord will answer that prayer if you're sincere. I tell you again, we're in the last days of the last generation. We're 56 years into the last generation. And what is just ahead of us is a storm. Jesus said there's never been a time of trouble like this since the beginning of creation. And it is so important to be found in that ark, that Psalms 91, that ark of safety, which is Christ. It's not an ark that somebody's going to run to when the storm comes. It's a place of safety for those who are already there. It is for one type of person. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Praise God. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. God bless you.